Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Savior. Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. and Wednesday Bible study begins at 7 p.m. Now on Sundays, we're here early. Service starts at 9, but we're here praying and seeking the Lord. For the Bible tells us that man should always pray. Should always pray, be seeking him. And so with that being said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. Lord God, and I pray and ask that you would bless each one under the sound of my voice. Each one that is tuning in this morning and those that will be listening later. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your power. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence. Lord, we honor you for being God. You're sovereign in our lives, and we thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray and ask that you would bless, Lord God, the backslider, stir their mind up. Stir up the heart of those that was witness to, that heard your word throughout the week, Lord God, or, Lord, received the invitation to be in service, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, that they may seek you while you can be found. Lord God, we honor you, Lord God, for all that you're doing. We honor you, Lord God, for the blessings that you have poured upon us, the blessings that are on the way. We thank you, Lord. We walk with expectation. Lord God, thank you, Lord. Those that are tearing for the Holy Ghost, I ask that you would fill them, Lord God. Lord Jesus, as they follow in obedience, as they follow what is being told, as they follow what is being taught, that you would bless them with a double blessing. In Jesus' name, Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we're going to be careful to give you the praise and to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Mighty God, bless your Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice. We should rejoice and be glad in it. And sometimes we wake up, or we're going through a day, we're dealing with an issue or something, and we have not, and we just don't, we're not feeling it. We're not feeling 100. And there are those days that, you know, just, let's just be real. Let's just be transparent that sometimes you just don't feel 100. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a saint. I'm a Baptist. I'm Pentecostal. And we feel that. No, you don't. You don't feel that way all the time. Sometimes you just don't feel good about what's transpiring around you. And so we have to work through those things. Even Jesus himself, when it came down to the sacrifice that he was about to make for us, you know, we use that expression, he felt some kind of way. And so you're not above Christ. And that was God incarnate in the flesh, according to Timothy 3:16. And so without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And so thank God for his power and his might. We are overcomers, and you do overcome by facing the challenge and dealing with it. You don't ignore the challenge. You deal with it. A challenge is an opportunity. Just remember that. A challenge is an opportunity. No matter how you're feeling, it remains an opportunity. And so he wants you to know, we believe the Bible is the word of God. Therefore, we're faithful. We're bold. We stand strong in that. We're bold. We're bold. I don't use the term bold, and we're not using it here at Cornerstone as to beat somebody up and to use the word like a hammer. That's God's job. He knows, he has a gentle touch. You know, there's some nails that you just tap on, and they have different size hammers for for dealing with certain type of nails and different things. And so God knows what to use for every individual. But we're bold in our own lives, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, me and all that's within me, I will serve the Lord. That's the choice that I've made. And so we're going to go on into the Word of God this morning. Don't endeavor to be long. It's going to be a day. Have another service to attend as well. And so, but truly we thank and praise God for his goodness. And before we go there, we're going to open the scripture being read. And then we're going to go into the Word of God. And I want you to find the praise to put on your heart. The Bible said that he's coming back for those that are worshiping him in spirit and in truth, such as the Father. That's what he's seeking. Those that are truthful and those that are not, don't have flesh on parade. Many services today, flesh is on parade. It's all about me. It's all about how well I did. And what do you think about how I sung? And you know, what does God think about how well you did? What you did? Was it unto his glory? Or was it for your own glory? Our opening scripture.
Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thy own understanding.
Yes.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Trust him. Trust the Lord. Trust him in all your ways. We're trusting him today. And you know what? We have a testimony because our trust and God is producing fruit. It's producing fruit. Now, we, you know, churches find themselves going through things, dealing with different situations, and because of people. And I say that because people change their mind. Matter of fact, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I changed my mind. People will change their mind after running up and down the aisle, doing cartwheels, rolling all over the floor, you know, and jumping all up on the podium. Now, if you jump up on this podium, visiting minister or anything like that at Cornerstone, I'm going to help you down. Someone's going to help you down. Because you're not going to be standing on the podium down. You know, no, you're going to be subject to the spirit of this prophet and this house. God doesn't act like that. He doesn't act like that. And we see all that stuff. That's flesh on parade. And that's what that is. That's flesh on parade. And so we're going to be real about our service unto the Lord. But there are those that say, I've changed my mind. Well, that pastor, that's the spirit of the Lord. That's the spirit of their Lord. The Lord that's governing their lives. The Lord that has allowed them to do that. You don't read, they're not David. That was David danced. David danced. Yes, he did. But you're not David. No. And so listen here. I'm just meddling. I'm excited about the Lord this morning. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm thrilled. I've just been having the Cocoa Puffs, you know, the chocolatey bird on the box of cereal. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and he just go crazy. you know, and the Lucky Charms guy on the box of cereal, he running all over the place talking about it's magically delicious. No, we don't believe in magic. I know magic and spells exist, but we depend on the power of God. But I'm still just as nutty right now and colorful as those things and the commercials that I just mentioned. Yes. Yes. I'm thrilled. I'm excited about God this morning. And I hope you are too. I hope you are just as crazy and just as nutty as I am just trying to describe. And I don't think I could really find the words to describe it. But I hope you feel that way about the Lord. You know, God can take a situation that seems impossible and make it possible. The Bible said that there's nothing impossible for him. All we have to do is when we get outside of our pity patties, when we get outside of our comfort zone, when we get outside of ourselves, and we begin to dig into things and try things, we will find out that there's nothing impossible for God, and it's not as much of a challenge as you thought it was for you. It's not. It's not. We deal with some weighty skill sets. Let me put it that way. Some weighty skill sets in our lives. And we go to school for those things and we don't think about those as being a challenge. Then we might say they're a challenge, but then we study it out and we figure it out and we network and we group study and we do all these things. And after a while, it becomes a regular part of us. And it's no longer a challenge. Right? It's no longer a challenge to us. And so we deal with challenges all the time. We deal with challenges. All right. Just want to give you a little time. Listen, we're going to go to the book of Jude. If you turn to the book of Jude and also to the book of Romans. Now, I used to hear my pastors and them say that I'm shooting from the hip. And I understood what they mean, and some of you might understand what I mean by that right now. I'm shooting from the hip this morning, shooting from the hip. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Now, while you're turning there, I have to walk over into the audience to do something. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Mighty God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. The book of Jude, book of Romans. Now, there's more scripture that I'm thinking of right now because I'm really, just enjoying this. But let's go. We're going to start with the book of Jude. Book of Jude. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. This letter is specific. It's not to everyone. The message that goes forth from the church is not to everyone. It's only to a few. Now, a few could be a few billion. It could be a few million, it could be a few thousands, but it's only to a few. It's not to everyone. The Bible said, few there be saved. So it's only to a few, and it's to the few that are going to be saved. Now you have to make up in your mind that you want to be saved. And you have to put forth the effort to follow the shepherd that God has given you, the under shepherd that God has given you, whatever instructions that they've given you. Understand something about instructions. Instructions could be something very simple. You write it off. It's too simple. And so it don't mean nothing. But you need to understand that God says, don't despise the day of small things. And so no matter how small it might appear, No matter how you might excuse yourself from it, it doesn't mean that you're not accountable. All right? Now, I'm not talking about accountability today. I'm talking about I changed my mind. All right, listen. To those that are preserved in Jesus Christ and call, he says, peace unto you, mercy and unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. And so there is a blessing there. Mercy and peace and love be multiplied in your life. As you sit here, when you leave here, the prayer is that his mercy and his peace and his love, not only his, but also those are of the household of faith, be multiplied unto you. He says, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort that you should earnestly contend. You have to fight for this thing. You're going to have to war this and for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. And it is still being delivered unto the saints. There are certain men. Here we go. There are certain men who have before of old. This spirit has existed before and it exists today. Ordained to the condemnation ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many, many places today that are in service that are about business only. It's a racketeering, as they would, some might call it. There is people that are being arrested. They may have started out good, but then they ended up extorting and taking from people, stealing and different things. And God bless those pastors that are working, that have double duty. Double duty meaning that they work. Jesus worked. He was a carpenter. He picked up the trade of the family. And so God bless those that are yet working and they have not put in for their retirement. They're yet laboring in the vineyard, both naturally and spiritually, for themselves and for the church. But there are others that have labored and found something that they could ride upon and fleece the people of God. They started out okay, but they changed their mind. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. He delivered them. They willingly went. Moses said, come on. I'm paraphrasing. Moses said, come on. God is going to bring us out of this place that we're in. He's going to bring us out of the disparity that we're experiencing. And they followed him. They believed him. They followed him. They got out there. They saw things were a little challenging. We need some water and we don't see any. A little challenging. That's sometimes we're looking for. We need a little water. And there's nothing. We look around and we don't see anything but dryness. The Lord told Moses, speak to the rock. Speak to it. And the water came when he acted upon what God said to do. And so they had water. Then they were hungry. And they began to cry out again. And the Lord sent manna, angel food, or, you know, cakes, bread. Sometimes we call it bread. I like to call it cake. I like eating cake with my spaghetti instead of bread. When there's no cake, I'll eat bread. Listen, he sent them the food. They wanted more. He sent quails. He sent enough for them to show that he was able to meet the need, to supply what they were crying for. He sent it. And now, what comes to mind at this moment is that on May 1st, we'll be consecrating. So if any quail come your way, then know that we're on consecration. You're not, don't catch that quail. Don't defeather it. Don't fry it. Don't bake it. Don't boil it. Don't broil it. Don't barbecue it. We're on a consecration. No meat from May 1st through the 30th. All right. He sent them the quail that they needed. They followed. They were in, they needed to be delivered because the enemy was hot on their track. And the Lord told Moses, said, what is that in your hand? Now, there have been many preachers and messages that have gone forth about what we have and what we currently possess as a tool that can be used to bring about deliverance. My prayer and hope is that you have not been like some of us that did not understand, or we did not follow through on the message. So we had to live in that situation a little longer until we learned what to do. And then we used what was in our hand. What's in your hand? What's in your mind? What knowledge do you have that you could use to further your progress, to deliver you from where you are right now? They needed to cross over the Red Sea. They needed to cross. They needed a path because they feared the enemy that was right upon them. Maybe you have something that you're looking at right now that's right upon you. And you're scratching your head and wondering, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? I've been there. And I'm sure that I may cross that bridge again. And you will too. Keep living. And the Lord told him, what's in your hand? And when he utilized what he already possessed, there we go. He utilized what he already possessed. The water parted. And the Bible said the water congealed. It congealed. You've seen what it is to congeal. If you've ever made Jell-O, it begins as a water base up and it congeals when you put it in the refrigerator and you get able to slice it, dice it, you know. And the funny story behind that is that my firstborn son, we had a restaurant and we were having some, I believe it was a Mexican restaurant. And so for dessert, had ordered him some Jell-O. And when I went to feed him the Jell-O shook on the spoon and his alarm went off and it couldn't stop him from crying. And so had to calm him down. He didn't see food move like that before. That Jell-O shook and it rocked his world at the same time. The water congealed. It did not shake. And the people crossed over on dry land. And they believed all of this. If they didn't believe it was possible to walk through the sea that had just parted and congealed, then they would have stayed on the other side and they would have had to deal with Pharaoh and his army. But they crossed over. And once they crossed over and they felt comfortable, because they didn't feel comfortable at first, I need you to catch this. They did not feel comfortable at first. Okay? Let me say that again. They did not feel comfortable. Have you ever been in a situation and you're dealing with things and you hear someone? Now, there's a difference in someone that is spirit-led telling you, the Lord is telling them, brother, I'm telling you to go ahead and rejoice. God got you. There's a difference in that. Then someone just telling you, come on now, y'all, come on, and want you to get emotional with it. There's a difference. I like dealing with the spirit led, that God is involved in what is being said compared to you parading in your flesh. Okay? There's a difference in the outcome. And so had they also, because Miriam had a tambourine, and there were some other folks that had some musical instruments. When they crossed over, they began to praise the Lord. What would have happened if they would have praised the Lord prior to them crossing over? You think about that. Meditate on that for a while. Let that marinate in your spirit. Because they praised him afterwards rather than praising him before. They saw the miracles. They saw everything that God had done already. They had experienced the power of God already. They knew his capability. And they did not praise him until afterwards. They changed their mind and praised him afterwards. But prior to that, they didn't give God a praise. They gave him a complaint. They gave him a complaint. Well, then they stopped believing along the way. They changed their mind. Jude said, and the angels which kept not their first estate. Now, what state are we in this morning? Where are you at right now? Well, I'm praying and I'm seeking God. I'm tearing for the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Lord God, bless me to walk upright. Bless me to do your will. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we even got a little rhythm when we pray sometimes. Because we just let the words are just going forth because one, we've heard other people do it. And so we decided we're going to do it too. We sit down and, you know, and we just, and there's nothing wrong with singing hymns unto the Lord when you're praying or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that we get into a mold of things. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like it's flowing well. But then I changed my mind because something happened. Somebody looked the wrong way. Well, they ain't supposed to look at me like that. Someone said something to me the wrong way. Someone did not say anything to me. And I wanted them to say something to me. And they didn't. What's wrong with them? I ain't going back there no more. A change of mind. Where I used to love that person, so I said, but then how easily do we change our mind? Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. And then all of a sudden, I don't want to sing that no more. I'm going to find something else to do. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. They had a place. They had a place. You have a place in God that cannot be filled by anyone else. I'm looking at, I was out yesterday at the Ontario Mills. The mall here in Southern California, Ontario, Rancho, for some that may already know. And I'm walking around the mall, just window shopping. It's nice to go window shopping, look at some things that you don't have, what you would desire to have. And, you know, you should do that for yourself. You deserve to give yourself a gift. You work hard. You deserve. Buy yourself a nice watch. Or for your birthday or something, and somebody asks you what you want, tell them what you want. Instead of receiving whatever, you know, throw those big hints out there, ladies and gentlemen, of what you really want. Okay, listen. So I'm walking around the mall, and I'm looking at stuff, and I'm went in the shirt store. I saw some shirts, and I was like, oh, my gosh, yeah, I do need some shirts to wear. I need some nice-looking shirts. And I walk in this store and I'm like, ooh, this material feels good. Too bad it's not my size. Because it was made for a thinner frame, a European frame. I'm sorry, I don't have a European frame. So I could not patronize the business. But you ought to buy yourself something. It was $3 for $99. It was $3 for $99. I was like, oh, yeah, I can go without Starbucks for a little while and you know, I'm just won't get some things for, you know, as far as, because our funds, money accumulates very fast. Now, I did buy a Starbucks coffee yesterday and found out it was $3.45, which means the price has gone up. So me and Starbucks are going to break our relationship. Yes, that relationship is going to be canceled, you know, and so I hope Starbucks don't mind at the fact that I made that public, you know, that public announcement, because you shouldn't break up with people over the internet, you know, or anything like that. You should not break up with people, send them a text message, I'm breaking up, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It was personal in the beginning. It should still be personal. And so you ought to treat yourself. You ought to treat yourself. You know, if you can go to Starbucks and get it, that's fine. Treat yourself to something nice. You know, Maki Kamiyato, whatever you call it. Treat yourself to something nice. But they didn't keep their first estate. And so the Bible says that he reserved them. Why? He reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Why? Because they changed their mind. Changing your mind may not have the same effect. Well, so-and-so did it. Well, you're not so-and-so. You're not brother so-and-so. You're not sister so-and-so. And because someone does something, don't mean that you can do it and you're going to have the same outcome. Well, they changed their mind and they're not bound by anything. How do you know? People put up a facade. People act out. People pretend to be something that they're not. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. They had a choice. They had a choice not to do that. And they chose to give themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. They changed their mind. They had an option. They had a choice. And they chose to do it the way that they wanted to. Strange flesh. People are searching and going after strange flesh. Even in 2024, it is not different. People are chasing after things. People are chasing after images. People are chasing after events, and not the right events. I was listening to the news, and a gentleman was talking about how he flew 20 hours over to be at an event. And that's fine. You want to do that, that's fine. Maybe he believes in God. I mean, don't. But belief is something that we practice. The devil believes in God. And actually, the Bible said he believes in God and trembles. So he's afraid of God. The unjust judge in the scripture that Jesus spoke about said that I don't fear God or man. So there's people that don't fear God and they don't fear man until they exit out of time and into eternity and see what it's all about. Don't have a change of heart. Keep your mind focused on the Lord. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of deities. Now, those people that I've mentioned, those from Jude, they had a change of heart. They were exposed to truth. They knew what to do. They knew how to do it. Someone was a witness to them. The Bible said that warning comes before destruction. So there will always be a symptom, so to speak. There will always be some type of sign or evidence of something that needs to change in our lives, even in our physical bodies. You wake up in the morning and your ankles are swollen. That's a sign. Your hand is throbbing. That's a sign. There's something going on with you that you need to, you two-stepping. You can't, that's a sign. There's an imbalance. There's something going on. And so there's an adjustment that needs to be made. There's a sign. These people had all the signs that they needed. With God, it could be one warning. God could say, don't do that. And that's it. In the book of Romans, Paul was having a conversation with the people of God. He said, he speaks to them. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. This is the first chapter, the 18th verse. He said, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth. If you're holding it, that means that you are in possession of it. Is that right? You have it. You have the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. So they have an experience with God. For God has showed it unto them. He's revealed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We can look around us and see the power of God. We can look around us and see what God is doing. We can look around us and know that he's sovereign, that those things did not create themselves, but they were created by God. Being understood by the things that are made, we understand even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, here we go, they knew God, they know God, you know God, I know God. I didn't say know of God. I'm talking, Paul is talking to those that are, once they repented of sin. Now, when you get into the epistles, after Luke's two epistles to Theophilus, you know, Luke wrote, the book of Luke is a credit to him. The book of Acts is a credit to him. And he's writing to Theophilus. And I love that because he is a witness. He didn't actually see those things, but he talked to people and he dug into it because he was curious. He wanted to know, is this thing real? And not only is it real for me from what I've seen, but I'm sharing this information with someone else that wants to know, because they believe they're being drawn by the power of God. The drawing of God is not a one-time thing. Holy Ghost. It is not a one-time event. The drawing and power of God occurs daily to those that receive it, to those that are willing to hear and to know this for themselves. It happens continuously. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a drawing that occurs daily from the Lord. We wake up with scripture. We wake up with songs. We wake up feeling the peace of God. We wake up saying within ourselves that I'm your servant. I'm your child. I'm going to serve you today. I'm going to bless you today. Thank you, Lord. They knew God, and yet they had a change of heart, a change of mind. Well, the Bible says they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their, they became. So there was a progress that occurred. And in that progress that occurred, they begin to say, well, it really don't take all of that. They begin to say, well, you know, I can excuse myself from this. I can excuse myself from that. I can excuse myself from whatever. After a while, that little became a lot. A little will soon become a lot. And so you have to nip it in the bud. Now, that's what they say. You got to stop it up front. It's just like if a child mouths off at you Your child. Let's limit it to your child. Your child, 5-year-old Susie, does or say something that they should not be doing. You have to stop it then, and they have to know that I cannot continue on this path, because after a while, she's no longer 5, but she's 15. And it was not stopped at the age 5 when you first saw it, and now it has escalated. And it's out of control. And you saying, well, I'm praying about it, and you requesting prayer for little Susie and all that. But it's your fault. Because the Bible said, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart. Meaning that look at, what is it, the circle of life? That what it's called, the circle? Look at everything that occurs. Look at how stuff goes in circles. Here we go around in circles. Da-da. Things go in circle. It comes back. And now the Bible says that be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's good things that we sow and we reap it back. There's bad things that we sow that come back around. And the thing about it is that we don't know when it's going to appear. And when it's going to appear. And so we got to do a whole lot of good to overcome that what we call a little bit of evil. You better do a lot of good. It lessens the impact. There are many things that we see sometime in our own lives that we realize that I caused that. That's a result of my own behavior. Even within our own, the DNA within our children, we can pinpoint something that they did and see that that's a result of me. Well, that's a generational curse. Well, listen here. Listen, let's go on. We can change things as long as we don't change our mind about God. I've changed my mind. And what happened? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. People see that. Well, they say that they of God. They used to talk about the Lord and all of a sudden they stopped. Their behavior has been altered some kind of way. When they have a change of mind, they are not thankful, become vain in their imagination. And the Bible says that their foolish heart is darkened. There are people that are walking around in darkness right now. They're lost, looking for a light. If you don't have a change of heart, you that are listening, if you stay the course, if you do as God said, I'm God and I change not, and you lean and depend on, you can be a light to lead someone that's in darkness back to the true path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. You can be that as long as you don't have a change of mind as well. The Bible said, if you see a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, go to them. So see, you can help somebody. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. We see this happening more and more around us. And it's being accepted by even those that are saying, I'm sanctified. Jude was talking to those that are sanctified. He said, what? The servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved. We're preserved. If you have a change of heart, if you're wavering and saying, well, I'm going to change my mind, you are not going to be preserved. Paul is talking about those also that had a change of mind. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into image made to corruptible men. Images, things that they should not, whether it's another person or whether it's an animal or something of stone or wood or ceramic or metal, they changed it. The 25th verse of that same chapter, the first chapter, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They had a change of heart. They knew the truth, but they changed the truth of God into a lie. and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. There's repercussions to all of this. When we change our heart, when we change our mind, we don't give God the praise and worship wholeheartedly. See, when we sell out to the Lord, it's wholehearted. It's when we have not sold out to him that we leave the door open to have a change of mind. We have to remove that element. We have to remove the possibility of that by selling out to him wholeheartedly. I give my all to the glory of God. I give my all. Can you say that? Can you let him know that this morning, Lord? I'm giving my all to you. I remember my godmother used to sing a song, and I'm closing with this, but she used to sing a song and say, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see. See if I can be completely yours. And that's where we are today. God is looking for those that are saying, I'm completely yours. Even on my good days, on my bad days, on my in-between days, the gray days and all of those things. When I walk through the valley of decision, when I'm in the valley of death, I'm yours, Lord. No matter where I am, I'm yours. No matter what's going on with me, I'm yours. My mind is made up. I'm yours. I'm yours. Even when people don't understand me and they want to say something, if they have something negative to say, it might hurt my feelings. But I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. Some things I'll take the blame for, people might even look and say, well, you know, I remember when I. But they've changed, you know, and they may even want to take the credit for your changing. That's all right. Because you allowed yourself to be abused. You allowed yourself to be afflicted. You allowed yourself to be talked about. You allowed yourself to suffer persecution and different things. Why? Because I don't have a change of heart. I'm yours, Lord. You allow things to happen. You turn the other cheek, even though the one that they slapped hurt it. And you turned and made the other one available. When they took your coat, instead of you saying, well, I have a change of heart. I didn't sign up for this. I'm without. But instead, you suffered the consequences of a theft. You suffer the consequences of those things because you're saying, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. And I know that in being yours, these things are going to exist. One, they're going to exist even if you're not in church. Yes, people are burglarized. People are dealing with things. People are dealing with sickness and all of that. But as long as you're on my side, Lord, that makes a difference, because I know if I should step out of time into eternity, I'm yours. That hasn't changed. And you have not changed your mind about me. You didn't give me up or give me over to a reprobated mind. You didn't give up and give me over to suffer like Nebuchadnezzar, who lost his humanity. And now he's in the field as a beast until he realized and gave recognition and honor unto God as being sovereign. Bless you, Lord Jesus. I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. I don't have a change of heart this morning. And I hope you're telling him that. Lord, I don't have a change of heart. I've heard what a change of heart can do when you know the truth and you've been exposed to the power of God. I know what a change of heart, when you walk away from that which is good, chasing after what looks, you know, as you drive on the freeway sometime, that you may see a green pasture and the grass look green out there while you're driving. You're doing 80 miles an hour on the freeway and it looks green and it looks good. But then all of a sudden, your son, your 3-year-old, you're teaching him how to not be in a diaper. And so you pull the car over. Now I'm talking to men. I don't think women do this. So let me say this to the brother. So you're going to teach your son how to water the grass, put it that way. So you pull over and you and your son get out the car, and he's getting a thrill out of the fact that, wow, this, I can really do this. I can stand here and water the grass. Yes, because it's something new. And you look at what you saw that appeared to be green grass, and it's green thorns and thistles, not something you would want to walk through, not something you would want to be found laying on. It's not the green pasture or anything that you thought it was. It's not the same. So let's not have a change of heart. Let's not be like those that we've read about, those that we have seen in the Word of God. But let's keep the faith. Let's be faithful to God, knowing that He's sovereign, knowing that He will bless us to do and to carry on as we follow His Word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for Your kindness. Thank You for Your grace and mercy. Thank You, Lord, for this short exhortation this morning. Just pray and ask, Lord God, that You would help us to live according to Your Word, to live according to Your will. Lord Jesus, bless us to walk, Lord, and to be an example to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Again, thank God. God bless you. Those that have tuned in, those that are listening, those that will be listening later, I want to invite you, please visit connectingtruth.org. We have an event that is coming up, a dynamic service, consecrating unto the Lord. And that's going to be May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. So visit connectingtruth.org. connectingtruth.org. The flyer is posted there. And so there's more information about other things that are posted there. But go to the website. And if you have something that you'd like to share, send us a message. If it's personal, please make sure to say that it's personal so that we don't talk about it publicly. I certainly will respond back to it. You know, continue to pray for us as we are praying for you in Jesus' name. Again, don't be like others that change their mind. They walk away from the truth. Be faithful. The Bible said that we ought to be faithful. Keep our hands on the gospel plow. Don't look back. God bless you.